Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
So, it has been a while since I've done one of these, but we are now finally in a little bit of a lull. Not a recruiting lull by any means, and we have tons of coverage of what the football program, the basketball program are doing recruiting-wise, even the women's basketball program recruiting-wise, but we are in a bit of a lull in terms of major news. Football spring camp is over, little bit after some other programs throughout the country, one of the later spring games. And I've told this to those a part of the WVU football staff, a little annoyed with the schedule of that spring game happening on NFL draft weekend, when the program knew for sure it was going to have an early round draft pick, as it did, in Zach Frazier, who got drafted by a regional NFL franchise of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and many of the media were connected to covering that, of course, myself. So that was a lot to do. Pat McAfee being there, he increased recruiting, he increased the eyeballs on it, all positives for the program, but also a lot to do. So maybe some annoyance on that schedule, usually the week before, but nonetheless, football camp is over now. The program was able to get through football camp on a high note, with, again, McAfee and Pat White showing up to be the honorary coaches, ending it with a recruiting boom, ending it with most around the country realizing the vibes have turned around, are different than where they were a year ago, certainly at this point. The basketball program, which we will touch on, hasn't been brought up that much. Maybe people want to forget, but this week a year ago was when all the drama hit, when the national news decided to pounce on the WVU basketball program, and really for good reason. This was the week, the beginning of this week, I believe Monday, was when Bob Huggins dropped the F word and the slur on a Cincinnati radio station, and then 6 weeks later had the DUI. He resigned. They did keep him before that DUI, and there was drama there even before the DUI, but the DUI then pushed it, and portal opened, and the worst season in basketball history for the program. And I'll argue that people could bring up one of Catlett's years, but no, that was an 8-win season. This was a 9, but this was more losses. This was more drama. This was bad. This was worse with the portal and what it can do for the program. Where they are now, though, because a year later, you have a new up-and-coming coach that everyone seems to love, a recruiting boom. Yeah, maybe they need some more bigs, but they're doing well under the circumstances, coming off the worst season in program history, and many now are thinking they should be right back in the NCAA tournament from where they were a year before the issue with Huggins, and maybe even picking it up from there. All signs are pointing up for West Virginia Athletics as we speak, which means I'm going to give you time to have the floor and discuss potentially whatever you want to discuss. This will be a Mountaineer live chat here, of course, on our YouTube channel. Of course, it'll be available at WV Sports Now on our site and everywhere else you can get podcasts in our channel and throughout our network and my network as well. I'm Mike Osti, and I just put up an article even earlier today about whether or not Garrett Green is maybe being overrated by some Mountaineer fans who are thinking he's a Heisman candidate and a dark horse for national awards and the program's going to go ahead and win the Big 12. No matter what you think of the team, do you think Green really is that guy? Is that really true for Green? Are you ignoring the flaws that are there because of what he's done for the program, turning around the vibes, how good he's been? There even were moments last year. They won 9 with him. He had a great year. But they did win when he was out, even though Nico didn't have to do too much. The defense picked him up there. He could be arguably responsible for the Houston loss, which would have got them 10 wins with it taking his helmet off. Again, it was not perfect, but nonetheless, he had a great year overall. Maybe national media-wise, is he being overlooked? Or some have argued with me that maybe nationally he's actually being overrated as well, because PFF has him in the top 10 returning QBs. I got a friend and colleague with NBC who's nationally that I part of national coverage that I talked to at the Combine. He thinks Green is the greatest thing since sliced bread of dual threat QBs. I don't know about all that. So where are you on Garrett Green? You could answer that article if you didn't already comment. Tell me whether he's overrated, whether he's being, you know, overlooked nationally, whether he's being overrated nationally. Wherever you stand there, we could talk about what the West Virginia basketball program is doing recruiting-wise. A lot of guards, not too many bigs. They did sign a big, though, recently. So that's something. More work to do. More spots are left open. Our Ethan Bach here at WV Sports Now has the coverage there, what the basketball program is doing on our site. Or anything else. We could even talk Mountaineer baseball. I do want to keep this, because I know this is going everywhere throughout my network. And, of course, I do cover the Pittsburgh market and even a little bit of the national scene now with some national writing with Yard Barker. So I do want to kind of keep this just for West Virginia fans, just for WU fans, just Mountaineer Nation, where my heartstrings really are. I am an alum, even though I do cover the program professionally, of course, with WV Sports Now. We can talk WU baseball. Yeah, it's been, you know, a big win in the backyard brawl. I covered there at covered that at PNC Park. That was rejuvenating after maybe some down times against Texas Tech, and they need to humble themselves, as Randy Mazey said. And then I turn around, and yeah, you get the mark of tying the conference wins total that you had a year ago. I said it was guaranteed they're going to break it. Yeah, I mean, they are going to. There's time left in the season, but since then, they've been losing and coming off a series loss. They can win the Big 12. They did get a share of it last year and should have had it by themselves, but fell back into a share of it. Share of it counts. They got the trophy. It says they got it. It is the case. I know some Fountaineer fans don't even want it at all, as odd as that is to me. A share is better than not having it. Let's just say that. There's no argument there. You'd rather have a share than not have it. So for any fans who don't even want it last year, that's just an unreasonable bar that I've been arguing. This is not, you know, Vandy of college baseball or whoever else you want to mention, Kentucky. This is not Alabama of college football for baseball. You can't just act that way. But they may not get anything out of it this year. They could end up still getting it, though. So we'll see. And certainly then you get into the tournament, you get into regional play. You got to get there for the bar of having a, I don't know if legendary is the term, but a accomplished coach. This isn't Don Nalen of baseball, but he brought that baseball program up to prominence. He churned MLB draft picks, and he made this program way different than it was under Van Zandt. And, you know, I covered it then when I was in college. There were some good times. You could argue that because of who maybe he was as a person and some rumors there and some things that I kind of know and heard from when I was there at the time, things that Pat White has put out there, by the way. He was a baseball prospect as well as a football hero. Maybe kind of slanders that tenure. GVZ, it wasn't all bad. It was bad at the end during the Jerko days when he was that MLB draft pick that kind of started it all to get to AK and where you're now going to be with Weatherholt. But to say it was all bad would not be accurate. There were good years. There were contending years. There were Big East tournament years. Again, there were good times. There were 3 or 4 really bad years towards the end that have seemingly clouded everything that happened in the 90s, mostly because of who he was maybe as a person. But we can talk there on what Mazey's done for the baseball program and where it is now as well, because he's leaving it on a very high note, and that's one job that maybe they could have looked nationally, but they are just going to promote from within, and that's clearly already been decided, and that's been in the works for even before it was announced, probably a year or two before that. I know it was at least 6 months before from what I was told, but I'm sure even prior to that. So we could go there as well, If you even want to go future the women's program, we can. If you give me nothing, then I may or may not scrap this, but I will at least give you right now my thoughts on Garrett Green, because I did throw that out there on the site, and that, of course, did get some traction. And yeah, admittedly, those type of stories are things that myself and my colleagues have to do now, unless we just want to cover recruiting, because we are in a little bit of a lull. But I will tell you, as much as I enjoyed the engagement and maybe some revenue that was gained there, because it did help the network get where it is today, I can't lie and say it was bad for business. I'm also happy to not have the drama that we had a year ago. Because a year ago, you're getting into football law, you're looking at football recruiting, that's my focus. I wake up in the morning, that's my focus. I get a text, I see something on Twitter, I try to, you know, maybe ignore, because things are made up there a lot of the time. You then hear more, you get private messages, you get private texts, Ethan and I talk, and it's, this is bad. Okay, where there is smoke, there is going to be fire. We can't ignore it. And it went from there. It went from the slur, it went to the DUI, it went to the worst season in program history for the WU basketball program, which arguably is more historic and successful throughout history than the football program. So, you know, it wasn't about this. There was no time for this. A year ago, it was talking to donors, getting one to go on the record, talking to national media members, getting everyone's thoughts, trying to see what the hell the roster is going to look like, because it imploded before your eyes, dealing with Huggins and his war with the university and what is really true, and trying to dig into all of that. And it became more than a WU coverage thing. It was a regional thing and then a freaking national thing, to say the very, very least. And that never really died. Maybe just now, as we're at the university, are we not really getting news from that, unless you're trying to make some. So I don't mind this. I don't mind trying to manufacture and having some fun and throwing them debates out there, maybe doing live chats versus that where we were a year ago, by the way. But to kick things off, no pun intended there, for football talk. Again, Mike Osti here. This is a Mountaineer live chat here for WV Sports Now. Feel free to take me off track. Feel free to bring anything up that you wanted. As I brought up in the open, football, basketball, men's, women's, if you want to. Baseball, all up for grabs. If you want to talk the freaking tennis team or golf team, give it a whirl as well. I do want to keep this Mountaineer Athletics for WVU fans, even though obviously I cover more than just the West Virginia program. So what brought up the Garrett Green article, that's almost a quasi, here's some quotes, here's my opinion, here's what coaches said, here's what colleagues said, you figure it out on your own. Like, it's not a commentary, it's not a report. It was really, what do you think? Here's examples. And they're all from legit people that can give those opinions. I do believe Garrett Green has been a major factor to turn around this program. Garrett Green is a major reason why the vibes are better. Not even just the 9-win season. Not even just winning 9 games when people thought you would win 4. Not even just winning a bowl game against a quality program when that really hadn't been the case under Neil Brown. Only one other bowl victory, and that was not against a major conference program. That was against Army. That should have been Tennessee. Would they have even won that game? You lose the other bowl game. This was a different year. This was the best year for Neil Brown since arriving in Morgantown. It sucks to maybe say 5 years in, but this is the case. And next year could even be more than that. People think 10 wins. You could look at the 9-win season. If you give up less than 150 on the ground, Oklahoma State at the end, if maybe it's even only 100, you hang on, win that game. Garrett Green keeps his helmet on. I'm not convinced that Houston's getting the Hail Mary 15 yards further back, even though it wasn't just Green. West Virginia played awful in that game and should have been way better than Houston, who ended up firing Dana nonetheless. Dana thought they lost the game. Just look at the end of that game. That's 10, if not 11 wins. And, you know, you didn't have a 12-team playoff then. You're probably still not in the playoff, but it's one of the best years in the last 20 years. It's right up there with the Orange Bowl season in terms of win-loss, or what it could mean, and that actually would be more wins. That was a 10-win season. And you're getting in a really solid major bowl game. You're vying for the conference. All of that. And if you peg that into this year and you have an 11-win season now in 2024 in the Big 12, you're winning the conference likely. You're certainly going to Dallas. You're definitely in the playoff whether it's off a rank with the program or off just winning the Big 12, the Big 12 automatically gets you in. It would be a special year then. And then who knows once you're there. And now that could have happened. You could argue Garrett Green, maybe his emotions got the best of him. But again, as Brown said throughout the year, West Virginia is not in any of those games without Garrett Green, certainly when he plays. And they did win the brawl without him. Nico played most of that game. He got hurt early. I get it. That was because of the defense. That was because of the picks on Jurkovic. That was because Jurkovic really wasn't a good QB. The defense played out of their mind. West Virginia able to win games with Nico, who barely moved the ball. He was young. It's not on him. I'm not criticizing him. He shouldn't have been there in that spot. He wasn't ready for it yet. He's better now, from what I've seen at camp, by the way. If he's in there this coming season, I think he would do better. But they won anyway, and it didn't ruin the year without Green because the defense played better than even with Green, and they took advantage of a Pitt team that had one of their worst seasons in 30 years and had a quarterback who was well overrated and not even that good. To quote Beanie Bishop, current Pittsburgh Steeler, we knew he wasn't good at his job, as he was talking about Fudjurkovic after the game. So all of that went down to help the program, too. And Garrett Green is a dual threat. Mountaineer fans love that, of course. That's the successful years of Major Harris, Pat White, Rasheed Marshall, even going, you know, further back. But there have been the Geno Smiths, the Mark Bolgers, Hostetlers, etc., that are not just in that mold. People do forget those guys. The best years were dual. And you want to have a dual threat in today's day and age. I don't think it works in the NFL as much, unless you can throw to success. Obviously, having mobile QB works. I don't want to get it twisted. Mobile QB works, but you got to be able to throw way more than Green can to more success and more accuracy than Green in the next level. Green's not really an NFL prospect. A great college quarterback, though. And the dual threat thing definitely works in college. He can make up for things by being athletic, by having that dual threat ability, by having a great O-line in front of him, which he still will have even without Frazier Nestor. Still going to be a solid O-line. So he's perfect for West Virginia. He's perfect for the college game. I think they will win games with him. They will win games because of him. At the end of the day, though, as the coaches said, and as I put in the article, 52.9%, I got that ingrained in my head for some reason. That's not going to get it done. And that's not going to get it done a year where the people believe you can win the conference, which then can get you in the playoff, which you won't be able to say this is my first year as a full-time starter like 2023 was. This now, you already have a year under your belt. You won 9 games. You won a bowl. You got to be better. The expectations are higher. They're on you. They're higher. PFF puts you top 10. You got to play like it. I'm not saying Heisman has to be a pressure, but you got to play better than last year. You got to move that completion percentage from 52.9. And as Tyler Allen said it, as Neo Brown said it, as the coaches have been saying it, Chad Scott said it too, you got to be closer to 60. Maybe that's a high bar to go from 52.9 to 60, but you got to flirt with 57, 58. You got to play smarter. You got to know the rules. You can't do the helmet coming off type of thing and then having that hurt your team and you lose on Hail Mary. You got to let your motions be contained more now that you have a full year under your belt as a starter. Smarter football, accurate football, all of that. And I do finally see we have some chat activity. All that happens to happen from Green. So I do think some, because I've had some colleagues even say, does anyone around the country know of Green outside of Mountaineer fans? That's getting into disrespect. They're on national TV way too often. It is an historic program, even if it's not, you know, an elite one by any means. They're in the Big 12, which is a major major conference that still has a playoff automatic bid. I can't, it would be hard for me to believe that somebody who does not live in the region of Pittsburgh, West Virginia, within a 200-mile radius, has no idea he exists as a person. Do you think he's a Heisman candidate, an elite QB, warranting of what PFF is saying? I'm sure no, nor do I. I think that goes into this article. I think the West Virginia fans that are saying he's a Heisman guy, he's a Heisman dark horse, he shouldn't even be 7th, he should be 3. He is being overlooked and disrespected because people aren't putting him in the Heisman conversation nationally. That's going wild. I think you're overlooking the completion percentage, and it can be an overrated stat, I get. You can dump off to somebody 2 yards in, they can take it to the house. Is that on you? Is that on the player? You can throw it on a rope and have the guy drop it, which West Virginia had drops problems last year. That's what was brought up in the article. And that can go against you and your percentage. I get all that. But at the end of the day, it got to be higher than 52.9. You got to find a way to get it there. You got to be better. And you got to play smarter. He's a leader, though. He's a moxie, just galvanizer, to say the least. And he's part of these vibes being turned around, because no matter what that record says, Garrett Green's not about to have negative vibes around him. Not at all. Not as the leader of this team. So what do you think? how many guards do we have on the basketball team? Well, that's an interesting question. We do actually have that over there. So again, it's been mostly guards, and I'm going to double check this. It's been mostly guards, obviously. There was a big. So by the way, WVU did add, this was 5 days ago now. I actually wrote this to help Ethan out a little bit. This was 5 days ago. They did add a center, signing Eduardo Andre, who had some time Fresno State. He's a big. He's 6'11", 250, so a bigger guy. He's a foreigner, by the way. Want to double-check that, too. He's from England. So that's the one big that they have locked up. Otherwise, it's mostly guards here. Jonathan Powell's a guard. You're looking at a lot of guards. I would believe, let me double-check what was said here and go to the last, I believe, 4 or 5. So WVU has picked up 6 transfers this offseason. We're talking about Tucker DeVries, a guard. He's the NBA prospect. He's the son of the head coach. He's legit. Harris, guard, Illinois. This is where Chester Frazier's coming into play here. Mari Hansberry, he's a forward. Toby Akani, forward. Andre's a center. And Small, a guard. He's the Oklahoma State player. So they have 3 guards locked up. And then a forward and a center. That's who's locked up. So that's not counting commits. This is signed. And obviously, for anyone who doesn't know, a commit doesn't have to sign. He could change his mind tomorrow. It's annoying, cover recruiting. I'm sure it's annoying for you fans. A commitment doesn't mean as much as it used to, especially in the portal age. Now, some of these commits, and this even goes to football, they have committed and then signed 24 hours later. That's a positive because that shows they're really excited about their commitment. They're not just committing and then, I don't know. Like, we've seen players around the country commit, and then 4 days later, Pitt had somebody 4 days later decommit. That doesn't show you there's good vibes there. Maybe they're scrolling Twitter, they see somebody else leave, and they change their mind. Once you sign them and lock them up, then they got to wait for a portal window. They're with you. They're certainly not going to be able to get out of that letter tomorrow. And yeah, they can ask for it, but that's not happening. But right now, so again, 3 guards, a forward, and a center is who's locked up. There's a lot of offers out there, though, to other guards, and not as many bigs, Charles. So that is where there's legit concern. And we talked about this with Darren DeVries at his opening introductory press conference. I asked this, Ethan asked this, everybody else asked this. Does your style work in this Big 12? You are an accomplished coach. You make sense for this job. Yeah, it was group of five mid-major for basketball term, but that's the case. Dusty May from mid-major to Michigan. That's what's going on these days. You make sense culturally. Your age makes sense. You and Ren have a good relationship. You're a recruiter. You've been to the NCAA tournament. You've done it with higher seeds as a mid-major. Imagine what you could do if you get a bump and come off of a solid conference situation in the Big 12 and get a better seed. When the Mountaineers got in the last time Huggins got in, they didn't even win 20 games, but they got in because of computers, because the schedule's so tough. Because unlike football, where people think they get screwed in rankings, the basketball program gets a bump. They do get respected nationally for what that program's been to Jerry West, to Hot Rod Hudley, to Bob Huggins, to the Final Fours, Elite Eight, Sweet 16s. They even got credit for a national title back in 42. That wasn't the case when I was even a student. So, again, there is respect there. I don't think the disrespect card can get played as much basketball-wise as it can football-wise for whatever reason. And great, but does what you want to do work? Because Darren DeVries, certainly at Drake, played, and Ethan and I talked about it. It's on the channel. That was our show. We kind of talked about him and the situation there. Ethan went fully into it, kind of analyzing some Drake films that I had him do before the show. That it's fast. It's entertaining. It's not great defensively. It can be smaller. There's bigs in the Big 12. A small team, can they handle that? That's going to be a question now if you don't get more bigs besides just Andre, and he's not an elite one by any means. You'd be better off with him as your number two. He doesn't have big conference experience either. And granted, the others don't as well, but the guards are the ones with that. Not even Tucker DeVries has it, even though he should be good and he could have been in a major conference a year ago. He's an NBA prospect by everyone's eyes. But will that work in this current Big 12, in the new Big 12? Can you bang with bigs when you're small? If you get cold, what's going to happen, because every shooting team will get cold at some point. And separately from all of that, is there enough defensively? It feels to me, this current roster, and I even thought this at the time, like the hire, it's a right hire, the right guy. And I think he wants to be there for a while. I don't think he's looking to bolt out the door either after a year or two of success. Similar to Mark Kellogg in the women's side. I don't think he's looking to bolt out of there. I think they both want to be there. They fit culturally. They are great coaches to be in this spot. And maybe 10 years from now, 5 years from now, they get a better job. But I think they're both in it for the long haul. And certainly if they're leaving in 5 years to a major elite job, they had success at West Virginia to get there. And that's what you got to hope for as a fan. But I do think there's going to be times where Darren DeVries' Mountaineers are going to beat teams they shouldn't beat, like the Mountaineers have been beating Kansas in recent years. They kind of actually, oddly, are always competitive with Kansas. They may snag games against teams they should not otherwise beat. Maybe in the out-of-conference schedule, instead of being competitive with elite teams, actually beat one of them. Maybe there'd be more upswing than there's been in recent years, certainly the last 5 years of Huggins, back when they were winning some of those games and they were a legit threat in March, not just squeezing themselves to get in. They may be a threat even in the conference tournament eventually. You do need to temper things with 2024 and the 2025 season. This is year one. As you see, the roster still needs filled out, and it's not big enough. That will be a problem. But into the future, I do think this team will win some big games, who have staple wins on his resume, and this team will be competitive both in out-of-conference play, in conference play, in the conference tournament, and then in March. I do believe that. I also do believe there's going to be a season in there where it's a really good team is going to lose the first weekend of March Madness. It'll get in as even a four seed, something like that, and even a three or a two in 2-3 years, and it'll lose early. Or it'll lose early in the Big 12 tournament, or you'll have a year with a deep run to the Elite Eight, and then you'll follow it up with a first-round exit as a major upset and a 10 seed is beating you, or something like that. If you're barely getting in, 10-7, or maybe a 12 is beating you and you're 5, for a better example. All that's in play. And I do think all that's in play because of his style, unless it gets corrected. I don't believe there's enough defensively for that to stop that. I do believe the size could be an issue. I think the way his teams play, which is why Drake didn't really advance, even though they're higher seeds and it's harder for a mid-major, that style to me does warrant getting upset. It warrants losing games you shouldn't lose. But it's an entertaining style that also will warrant winning games. People would go in thinking you weren't going to win. So, Charles, hopefully I answered your question there. Again, 3 guards currently signed, 1 forward and 1 center. And that's what we have so far. It could even be changing as I'm talking, as these things do really move. Anything else on the basketball front from anyone? I see we just have a lot of ears and agreeing with me about the vibe changes here. Any questions, commentary, anyone wants to get into, I can go back to the Green conversation. Touched on that a little bit already for you to scroll back on the archive here on whether or not he's being maybe overrated by some nationally, like PFF, even Eric Froton, my boy there with NBC Sports. I think he's getting a little, you know, he's slurping the Kool-Aid of Garrett Green, maybe a little too much. I didn't even put a whole conversation in because it was not PG-13 that we had over drinks there at the Combine. He really likes him some Garrett Green. I don't want to go that far, but I do think the Mountaineer fans also are really overrating him and are overlooking the flaws, the accuracy, the smarts. He's a smart kid. I'm not going there. But playing smart on the field, I think he plays too much with emotion over being smart sometimes. And he doesn't help receivers that are dropping passes. I do think with Jaden Bray there, who's a way big upgrade from Devin Carter. No shade to Carter, but come on. He arguably decreased his value from going North Carolina State. He would have been better off going the draft app, not even coming to WU. The team did better, but he did not have a better year. So they're better off now with a really experienced, really, really strong, bulky receiver. Looks like freaking Terrell Owens out there in Jaden Bray. And even a better season than what he had at Oklahoma State. And they were in Big 12 title games with him. Traylon Ray should have another year of seasoning. He should be even better. Hudson Clement is going to have a year where he goes in knowing he has a scholarship, whereas last year he went in having to play for it and got it against Duquesne. He should be even better. Cole Taylor, a tight end, could be even better another year into the system. Rodney Gallagher getting snaps at nickel, a DB on defense. They want to get him on the field. He's a true athlete, and I'm rooting for the kid. I know that family well, too. But as a receiver, he's lower on the depth chart. But if he does get some looks, I think he'll be even better. He looked really good in camp. Preston Fox emerged last year as a hometown kid. I think he should be even better another year in the system. You have seasoning. You should just be better. I mean, maybe there's a ceiling there, but none of these guys should be worse. You should argue the receiving group is better, even running back-wise, with Jaheim emerging and CJ still there. People thought CJ would leave if Jaheim did this. They're both still there. Jalen Anderson is a name to bring up, too. So there's room to maybe even add more, by the way. There's offers out to wide receivers. They just added a JUCO tight end for more depth. Traylon Davis, I actually think, is going to be even more of a passing threat, but certainly a major blocker for the Mountaineer offense. He looks better. He's a veteran who's really been in that system even longer than Cole, obviously. So I do think the receiving room, the offense, the weapons, the running backs, the tight ends, offensive line is not as experienced as when you have Frazier and Nestor, but still they have seasoning from a year ago. A lot of players, Wyatt Milam and company, Hubbard, they played a lot of games to this point in their final year now coming up. They're hungry. They should still be good, even if they're not as elite as with Frazier. Certainly Brandon Yates at center is a drop-off, but there's continuity and chemistry there. And I do think overall it'll be fine. Tyler Allen, the same thing as Sean Regan, having that continuity, I actually think is a good thing, even though people wanted a flashier name. Brown getting more comfortable calling plays after taking kind of a year off from doing it. Chad Scott is his role, but his role fits because it's so much of a run first team. This offense should be the same, if not better. And you figure Green should be better too. Another year of the Manning Passing Academy that'll hit up in the summer that he did last year. He could have been worse passing if it wasn't for that. I talked to him. I talked to them. He did really well there. It helped him. But still, 52.9% completion-wise is just not going to get it done. It's not good enough. It's not even going to get you near the Heisman. And it's certainly not getting you on any PFF grade, or shouldn't. And it's just not enough. That has to be higher. Just has to be. So all of that said, I do think all of that should happen. And I do think it'll be easier on Green. Say he stays healthy as well, but there'll be more help. I don't think there'll be as many drops. I don't think there'll be as many mistakes. I don't think everyone will be learning a new offense kind of with Brown back to calling plays for a full year and Green is the starter. All of these things were questions a year ago. They had to learn and get through and mature together on. Now all of that's in place. That's why there's expectations for the fan base for this team. And the opening schedule is not easy against Penn State, obviously, even at home. Say you lose that, you win the FCS game. Pitt should be worse. They are not having a great offseason, but it's in Pittsburgh. Say it's a rival game. It's the brawl. Anything goes. We know that. So say you lose that and you're 1-2. The vibes will be bad, but the conference is not as brutal. This is a year it's open. You got the automatic bid. People are going to be arguing all season long, is the Big 12 worthy because it's down? I don't think the Big 12 is going to be murderer's row. Oklahoma's gone. They're out of there as being de facto champ. Oklahoma State's always vulnerable. They always lose games. UCF is not nearly back to what they were as a group of five in my eyes. Texas Tech, they're going to lose games. TCU, outside of that special year, they always lose games. These are average to good teams, maybe. Kansas State, they maybe could win it. They could be good. Utah, I think, will own the conference in the next decade and win multiple Big 12 titles. I think they maybe are the most underrated program in the country in the last 20 to 30 years. Dead serious. I think Utah could argue that as being one of the most underrated programs in the country in the past 20, 30 years. In the Rose Bowl every other year, they're vying for the Pac-12 every other year, and that was when the Pac-12 was really good. Even last year when the Pac-12 had depth versus obviously some down years for the Pac-12, and now it's gone. Major bowls. They're actually arguing for a national title claim 2008, even though they didn't, I don't know about giving it to them. But that's a solid program that went from group of five to really being legit over that, you know, from Urban Meyer to now and Alex Smith. So they could clip it off. Would not be shocked if they get all those West Coast kids, maybe more so than Arizona, who's, I think, historically underachieved. 20 bowl appearances. West Virginia has 40. Arizona should have more going on there in that recruiting base. Nico's actually an Arizona kid. He went to West Virginia. Arizona just swings and misses too much, whether it be recruiting on the field, underachieving on the field. I think Arizona's overrated, and they've been for 50 years. But we'll see how the program does, how the conference does. I do think, though, the door is open that even if you lose the rivalry games and you start out weak, you clip off the conference games, you're in there. You win the conference, you're in the playoff. So, I had somebody ask me this on a show recently to that end, and I'll even pose it to you guys. If you want to churn more of the chat here a little bit. My daughter's still napping, so we can talk a little bit longer if you'd like. Would you rather win the rivalry games and falter in the Big 12, lose games you shouldn't, flounder? You're not the Big 12 champ. You're not in Dallas. Probably 7-8 wins at best, maybe even worse. But you win those rivalry games, you can brag in the region. You beat Penn State, you get to put it on the wall of the sports page. It doesn't just say 1984 anymore. You can add it there. Historically, West Virginia basically never beats Penn State. Obviously, there's wins against Pitt. Certainly, Pitt wins over West Virginia. But you'd win the recent series rivalry. They won the first one when the rivalry came back in a close one. You then would win the game in Morgantown. You then would win one in Pittsburgh on the road, and that would then give you the 2-for-1. You go in the offseason with that 2-for-1. That's bragging rights for a good while. Do you want all that and then putter away the conference? Or would you rather lose to Penn State? I don't think anyone's going to be that mad. You just want a solid showing. That is an elite program that now out of 12 playoff teams will probably get in every year. Would have been in a lot if there were 12 team. If there was a 12-team playoff in the past. It's the number 3 Big Ten program before now this ascension of this conference realignment outside of Michigan and Ohio State in recent years, but maybe even it could be ahead of USC, Oregon, et cetera, based on what it's done. So that's an historic program that West Virginia never beats, even at home. I don't think anyone's going to throw a chair to lose to Penn State. That would not sting nearly as much as losing to Pitt, of course. Pitt is more of a rival. Penn State, I don't know if it ever really was. You can argue that with an older fan. But you lose both. Maybe you're 1-2. So no one cares about Penn State. It wouldn't be mad about it, at least. You care about it, but wouldn't be mad. But maybe you also lose the brawl that ruins the bragging rights of the game in Morgantown, because then they got the 2-for-1. They go in the offseason with all of that. It feels like they're still beating up on you, even though I don't think Pitt's going to have a good year. But if they beat you and then have a bad year, that's going to really stain you. It's going to be rough for Mountaineer fans on social media, certainly moving forward for that next year plus. But then you clip off conference games. You show some of those programs are overrated. You do what you're supposed to do. You really click. You turn it on. The offense finally gets together. You have a better second half of the season that includes conference win after conference win. Conference schedule I do not think is brutal. If you win the Big 12, you're in the playoff, even with the rivalry game losses. You could have a 10-3 season, maybe if everyone really flounders, you're 8-4 winning the Big, whatever it is, you win the Big 12, you're in. You're in. But you could have a double-digit win season overall. You could win the Big 12, then you're in the playoff, and who knows? Would you rather that and lose the rivalry games or win the rivalry games and not get all that? And I get there are a lot of fans that just want bragging rights, especially on social media. So you'd rather win the rivalry games and everything else is gravy. I get it. I think what the coaches would want in their heart of hearts, and they would obviously never answer this question because they want to win every game. I think what the program would be better off having happen, honestly. And I think even myself as a media member and an alum, I'll give this answer. And I tried to give it as a fan. I tried to give it as a media. Same way. I'm going to give the same answer all the way through. You're better off winning the conference. You are. I mean, look at the Pitt program again. The Pitt program in the last 20-plus years does not even have 30, really. In the last 40 years, the Pitt program has less major bowl wins. And we're not talking about claims going the last 100 years. In the last 30 to 40 years, Pitt has less major bowl wins. They did not even win a major bowl game in the year that Kenny Pickett and them won the ACC. And Kenny didn't play in the game. Maybe they would have if they won. But they lost to Michigan State. I actually was part of that coverage. They lost that bowl game. Okay. But they got a trophy that says ACC champ, a major conference, despite Clemson being down, Florida State being down. That is a modern era thing. They only have 3 conference titles in their entire program history. And yeah, a lot of years where they were independent, but still, that's a lot of football, 60-plus years not being an independent. 3 conference titles, and we're talking Big East, ACC, whatever. The Mountaineer program, without a legit national title, by the way, and Pitt does have at least one of those, even though I don't believe they have all 9 that are legit, that they try to claim, has 15. 15. This isn't claiming or disputed. West Virginia has 15 conference titles. And some of them were way, way, way back in, a mediocre conference before things really boomed and you get major conference play. So some of that maybe wasn't modern era football. But 7 of them are modern era conference championships. Yeah, obviously none in the Big 12. They haven't even got in that game in the Big 12. It's been weaker since moving to the Big 12, but Oklahoma and Texas are now gone. Oklahoma's won a lot of those. And West Virginia has 15. That's a high number. There's historic programs that don't have close. Ole Miss, one. They got six. That's less than half. It's an historic program. It's off the top of my head. 15's high. 15 is high. Now, 15 does not compete with Alabama and Georgia, but 15's high if we're talking historically. I don't even think Penn State, off the top of my head, has 15 in whatever conference they've been in, to be honest. And they got them all in the damn press box. Those are not all national titles they're trying to claim. They only have a couple of those. It's all conference title BS, and it's not, obviously, they haven't been in the Big Ten forever, and they were independent for a while. But in terms of special seasons, special years. But anyway, historic programs don't have that number. I mean, Joe Paterno did a lot of independent years, so I get that for Penn State fans. But 15 conference titles is a high number. I could argue they should celebrate it more and it should be on the press box at Milan Puskás Stadium. They ever renovate that press box, they should say 15-time conference champ. Or maybe 16 if they win the Big 12. It shouldn't just be about winning that Big 12 one. It should be about the whole history of the program. It has been around, obviously, for 100-plus years. But I'll digress on that. You win the Big 12, you win a major conference title, that's a trophy, that's a flag, flags fly forever, that's a banner, that's a 16, that's a even higher of a number. You want to win conference titles. You want to beat your rivals, but you want to win conference titles. It gets you in the playoff, then who knows? You clip off playoff wins and you go ahead and win the national championship in the playoff. Yeah, somebody might try to claim something else. It's not like that's a 0% chance. It can still happen off overall records, who played who got screwed. That'll stuff will still happen. I do believe that. People think it's not. It will still happen. Certainly Notre Dame's involved there. It will still happen. If they have a one-loss regular season and they don't get in the playoff or they don't get a bye, and even if they lose right away in the playoff and they ended up with a two-loss season and the national champ has four losses, including a good team that they beat or a team with a worse record than them who's ranked worse, Notre Dame's going to claim that thing, or could. Maybe they don't do that type of stuff, but they have in the past. So, no one's going to care that you lost the rivalry game then. Yeah, the rival will still make fun of you, but do you care about social media or care what's actually good for the program? Like, winning a conference title would be a major deal that you could argue and have for yourself forever. Like, Pitt has that ACC title, even if they don't get another one. No one really, it doesn't really matter that Clemson and Florida State were down. They won the ACC. That's a major conference title. And it's even more historic for them because they only had three of them in their history. A few does have 15 conference titles. But doing one in the Big 12 after you hadn't got one since that year in the Big East, since that big year, you win the Orange Bowl. Obviously, the other years with Pat White and company winning Big East titles then. But since that era, not winning a conference title, getting one in the Big 12 that'll still have an automatic playoff spot, that'll be a major, major big deal. That would be better. But I get you know, it would really sting to lose the rivalry games, but it still could all be in front of them. Still 100% could be. So anything else anybody has there on the football front, on the basketball front? Again, this is a year removed from the Huggins drama, the initial part of it with the slur on the radio show, and the program in a much better spot now, a much better spot than what a lot of people thought this program would be in heading into this next season after, again, arguably, and I do believe, the worst season in program history after all of that, and the portal opened up the doors and all of the recruiting solid. They got a solid coach. The vibes are relatively good now a year later, honestly, with that horrible season in the middle. And whatever else you maybe want to discuss, Charles, I see you and a few others are hanging with me. I appreciate seeing some comments here, and if we didn't get that many questions, I'll have to do this more often, especially as we still get into this lull and it does not end up being a hornet's nest of news off drama this time of year. But of course, tons of recruiting over there at WV Sports Now. Follow us there. Find us there. Follow us throughout social media. I do have my personal Twitter there below me. Of course, at WV Sports Now for the show. For the network, not the show. I'm used to saying that on my shows, but for the network handle. And of course, WVSportsNow.com for the site. All of our football, basketball, whatever else, recruiting news and analysis and everything else for the programs is there. And if you don't want ads in your face, and maybe you want a cool hat like this behind me, by the way, I will promote this here. You want this. I'll try to even get you some hoodies and shirts, but right now we definitely got some hats for you. All of that can happen by subscribing to our hauler. Catch me in the hauler. Catch you in the hauler. It's very, very cheap in comparison to some of our competitors, comparison to what's out there. I honestly, and I've had people do this, I would legit consider paying for it strictly to get rid of the ads. A couple bucks a month to have no ads when you know you're consuming content or numbers say you're consuming content. Why not? We do break news there. There are interviews and comments and quotes and analysis and things that you wouldn't get everywhere else. People a lot of times have the same quotes in these recruiting interviews. I look at those. I try to get a different one. If it's the same, I ask them a different question, say, can you give me another quote? Because I know you gave that to Keenan Cummings or somebody else. And I throw a new quote in that you wouldn't get elsewhere. Sometimes it's free. A lot of the time it's free. Sometimes it's in the holler. If it's in the holler, a couple bucks. You also can connect to Kuz's Corner with Justin Walker. We've done some shows with him, been on there a bunch. He's kind of, you know, connected a little bit in terms of he's offering a code. You can get his VIP channel, a lot of activity there, popular YouTube channel in the W fan base for sure. And then also can get our hauler together. So you type in the code that he can offer you that also is offered by asking myself, Ethan Bach, any of us throughout the network. And maybe if you look really, really hard and dig, is available somewhere on WB Sports Now. You type in that code, you can get a discount to have a connection of VIP with Kuz's Corner, as well as be part of the hauler. You can get it all as well. And you can even have some more cool things that may happen and matriculate throughout the rest of the summer. If nobody else is any more, I will shut this off and close up shop. Sometimes there's tons of chat activity on these. I get this was middle of the afternoon. Want to do it when my daughter was napping. I'm alone with her on Wednesdays. Maybe I'll try this again on Friday. Maybe I'll try this again tomorrow, which will be Thursday. I don't know. Probably not going to do too many in a given week, but at least once a week, I want to do these separate from everything else I'm doing. I want to do these, whether, you know, mostly for you guys, for West Virginia fans, for WB Sports Now, not even everything else. I do want to kind of do these live chats at least once a week now as we get into this lull that's just really recruiting as the teams are kind of off, and we'll see until fall camp gets here. Say for any other drama that would occur, but I think maybe, you know, we're fine a little bit this summer for Mountaineer fans. So I do want to do at least one of these a week, maybe two. Didn't get as much chat activity as I liked for this one, so maybe I'll do another one before the end of this week, but feel free to chat along. Throw me whatever you got. You know, again, if you did miss the Green debate there, whether he's being overlooked nationally or WU fans are missing his flaws, it is on WB Sports Now and talked about it a lot here, but my thoughts are in the middle of that article as well. Colleagues are there too, and coaching comments are there. Even Green, by the way. Green, people thinking Green thinks he's big stuff. I saw that comment somewhere. That is not the case. Watch Green in a presser, be around Green, and I get you can't be around Green as a fan, really, but just watch the freaking pressers. The kid would never argue that he's deserving of anything or that he's Pat White of this generation or anything near that. He's very, very humble and arguably doesn't put himself in enough of a light. So that is just totally not true. But you can find that on WB Sports Now as well. So that'll do it for this edition of our Mountaineer live chat here with WB Sports Now. Again, follow us throughout social media. Find us at WB Sports Now. Consider subscribing to The Hauler for what we offer there and how cheap it really is and the ad-free experience and that hat. Might do it alone for you. So until then, the vibes are good. Until the next time we do one of these. The vibes are good around West Virginia Mountaineer Nation. They really, really are. Across sports, really. How long will they stay that way? Obviously, that gives Mountaineer fans some pause. How long do they ever really stay positive? And that way, they never stay that way permanently. But right now, the vibes are good. The weather is good no matter where you are. So enjoy the summer that's about to approach. Enjoy the vibes the way they are. And let's see how much we can debate before the season starts. But yeah, it's a vibe turnaround, to say the least. And that got to be a positive sign as a fan. Honestly, even as a media member, covering this with better vibes is more fun than a funeral experience of a year ago as well.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.